I don't know whether your brothers and sisters feel the same way I do about the pastor, but this is about the third or the fourth Sunday when he's spoken to us Corinthians, us hard-to-handle Corinthians. And I don't know whether he's on to something or not, but I am concerned about it. Join me in a prayer of illumination, please. Loving God, anoint us from your Holy Spirit as we hear your word this day. Fill us with your truth that we may walk in the ways of God to the glory of the realm. Amen. I need to warn you before I start reading the scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9 from Peterson. I'm going to use just a little bit of liturgist license this morning. I, Paul, have been called and sent by Jesus the Messiah according to God's plan, along with my friend Sosthenes. I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth, Christians cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. I include in my greeting all who call out to Jesus wherever they live. He's their master as well as ours. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Master Jesus Christ be yours. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God, given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened to you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Just think. And in the words of Jimmy Vovano in the last speech he made before he died, don't ever forget, you don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master, Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. Never, never, never. The words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I thank our brother in Christ for sharing the word of God this morning. And to the people of Corinth, Yuma, let's have a word of prayer. God of grace, we thank you for how you continue to speak into our lives. Thank you for how you continue to create. Thank you for your word of grace, which is powerful, sustaining, surprising, stretching. Thank you for brothers like Paul, who spoke that word, and we remember it, we recollect it, we recall it today. We want to thank you for how you speak, love, heal, mend. We open ourselves once again. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Paul has previously been speaking to the church at Corinth, and it was a church that was screwed up. Paul wouldn't have never said it in those words, "You're screwed up." But in other words, he was communicating that in somewhat graceful ways and sometimes using the hammer between the eyes way also. Have you experienced both of those ways when somebody is telling you that you're screwing up? Sometimes grace-filled, guided, sometimes just right between the eyes. Paul kind of alternated, and I think it kept the people's attention who were hearing this word. But he also had an important message for them in this particular reading. It's not about me. It's not about any other charismatic leader that you may have encountered. It's actually not about any of you either. It's simply and wholly and completely about God. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you still are not ready. For you are still worldly, since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, quote, I follow Paul, end quote, and another, well, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Paul is very clear here. He's saying that certainly I, as a brother in Christ, have been trying to help in whatever way I can. And yes, we've been taking in milk, and that is an analogy for sustenance that you receive as you're first starting out. Babies receive that and are nourished by that. But at some point, people move on to something else more substantial. And sometimes whenever people move on to something more substantial, it takes a lot more work. It takes an awful lot more effort to be able to receive that. Sometimes you wonder, in the midst of receiving a truth from God, a deeper reality, being fed with something more substantial, you wonder, right in the midst of that, God, where are you? Are you still at work? Do you still care? And all the while, God is helping you to grow. It might be a difficult time. It might be challenging circumstances. But that doesn't ever mean that God has left us go. Paul is saying that in those difficult times, in those challenging times, it may be easy to latch on to something or someone that you can see and follow that rather than staying the course, rather than trusting in God. Whenever I left Johnstown, Judy and I were moving out to Arizona and getting rid of everything. We had this was a big yard sale this week, okay? Our yard sale that we have was just a little bit smaller than that one. Got rid of everything. In the church, in that particular church, they have something that I've noticed at some other churches as well. And as a pastor, I can say it grates on me. I don't like it, in fact. Churches who have, in Johnstown, there was this beautiful, wonderful display case that they had displaying photos of all of the previous pastors. Have you seen that in the church? Have you seen that in this church whenever we walk down the hall? I didn't like it. I told folks that, not that I had anything against any of the former pastors at all. That wasn't the issue. But I said, whenever I leave, I'm not leaving you one of my pictures. Because I'm just ornery like that. Deal with it. And guess what? Whenever we pulled out, I didn't leave one of my pictures. Now, I found out that they found a picture. Who knows which one? And they put it in there anyways. There you go. Whenever we leave this place, I'm not going to leave a picture. And who knows what's going to be on that wall? They come. The point is, it's not about me. Or it's not about any other particular person. Do we all have important relationships that feed us, that nourish us, brothers and sisters in Christ that we're blessed by in our lives? Absolutely. And that's a wonderful thing. But Paul is sharing a truth here, and we, as the modern day church, need to hear it, that when times get tough, it might be easy to latch on to somebody who's charismatic, might be easy to latch on to somebody who's developed a cult of personality, but you know what? Who we need to really trust, who's going to be lasting when everything else fades away? Nice job, kids. A little bit louder. Nice job. Good. You're almost as loud as the kids in chapel. Almost. Almost. This is an important point. Apollos, Paul, certainly. They had parts in the nourishment, in the growth of individuals and also as a church. However, they were not the ones, bottom line, doing it. It's God and God's work that is taking place here. That is the bottom line. The only reason why we are here in the first place is because of God. The only reason that this place is here is because of God. Certainly has it come together through the efforts, the toil, the struggle, the financial support, the time support of many, many individuals and dedicated individuals? Yes, but the bottom line behind it all is the working and the grace and the love of God. Paul is reminding the church of something that he shared earlier with them. That the cross is actually the best symbol and the strongest reminder of how we are called to live as well. The cross. Now, for those who are interested in building their own kingdom, this is bad news. But for those who are interested in building God's kingdom or being part of that, this is a celebration. What did we hear earlier in the message to the Corinthian church and the message to us? The cross is foolishness, you know, as far as the world sees it. But to those who claim the name of Jesus, it's hope, it's victory, it's power. So whenever we see that, when we look at that as we're going out, when we wear one, we understand that that's our starting point. What God did for us on the cross. It's interesting to me to think about what we value and how we communicate what we value. You know, I've talked to you about bumper sticker theology, and you read something on a bumper sticker, and that might communicate some of the beliefs of that person that you're riding behind, going 25 miles per hour in a 45 miles per hour zone. You have plenty of time to go ahead and read it, study it, memorize it. People at the yard sale, they were wearing different shirts with messages on them. Did you know that? Some of which I can actually share in church. Here are a couple of these messages, just a sampling, okay, just a sampling, communicating where these folks are coming from, where their values are. One said, "Let me drop everything and handle your problem." Another one said, "It's 5 o'clock somewhere." See, I know that song, okay? Might not have sounded like it. And then another one said, and I thought this was an interesting truth to communicate, "Christian under construction." I like that. Ongoing process, Christian under construction. God at work in us. God doesn't make any junk. God is not finished with me yet. Actually, we understand spiritually, theologically, that once we get with God in heaven, once we are in glory, however you want to name it, that's when the completion, that's when a perfecting comes, a healing forever, for all eternity. But until then, yeah, there are going to be struggles. No question about it. And difficult times and moments. Speaking of Christians under construction, I was talking to a brother in Christ, and he and his family were here whenever they were at the Marine base in Yuma, and they've since moved, and we keep in touch and talk and pray over the phone, but this is the statement that he holds on to that impacted him most from when he was here. Of all the things that I said over those years, this is what he remembers most. If it's up to Neil, he's going to screw it up every time. That's what he remembers most. In fact, you know what? Whenever I move from here, instead of my picture, I'm going to have that printed on a piece of paper where my picture could have been, a name tag underneath. And a sign. Thanks for working on that, fellas. Appreciate that. There's a truth in that, okay? It's not false humility. It's a humility that's been garnered in difficult ways, challenging ways, bad decisions, struggling to trust God completely with my life. My friends, I as a brother in Christ have those same struggles. And yet, isn't it a wonderful blessing to know that we're not alone in the struggle? This is not misery loves company. That's not what I'm talking about. This is hope builds upon hope. We are witnesses to one another of the resurrected Christ and what that means. Strength, hope for tomorrow, a promise for a new day, and also promise within this day that might not be turning out particularly well. Even in those days that aren't particularly turning out well, even in those days when you're trying to get out of the church parking lot and other people aren't acting very Christ-like, I'm watching. Even in those days, whenever you're dealing with something really serious and a big, big challenge, and you feel like you're going through a time of darkness, even in those times, God is at work. Our brother in Christ, what he said earlier, don't give up, don't ever give up. That is a wonderful statement to have on a shirt, isn't it? Statement of faith, a theology to have. And Paul, in essence, is communicating that to those who are now taking in some more difficult lessons, growing in their faith. And we know that sometimes growth is accompanied by growing pains. Growth is accompanied by things that challenge us. And growth is also accompanied by change. And there's that big word that in a church can sometimes lead to very short pastorates. Change. But if change is done to enable a refocusing and a more vulnerable openness to God, then it's change that builds God's kingdom. No question. I understand that there is a particular phenomenon in nature that between two areas of growth, like a forest and getting out into grasslands, on that edge right there, it is particularly fertile ground for things to grow. Okay? Right on that edge, all sorts of things can blossom and flourish. And I think about that in our own lives as well. Sometimes if we are willing simply to step out in faith and trust God into a whole new area in our lives, or be able to follow God in that journey, that season that he's placed us in, you know, there can be growth that we can never imagine. Might be challenging, might be difficult, might be different, it might be a change, but you know, if we trust in God, if we're truly humbling ourselves, then we know that even in those difficult moments, God is already present. We don't have to ask for it. God is already present. Go ahead and tell somebody that right now. God's already present. God's already present. Has God ever taken you out of your comfort zone? I'll take those laughs as a yes. There's a story of a particular community called the La'ark community. And it was a community in which those who had incredible challenges, physical, mental, and emotional, had a place in which they were safe. They were nurtured, they were loved, and they were seen still as human beings and as God's creation. Henry Nouwen is a theologian. And whenever he was alive, he was a well-known theologian, author, speaker, leader. He would go all over the world and people would pack auditoriums just to be able to listen to him. And yet he found himself crossing into that next area of growth, if you will. Okay, remember that real fertile area? Sometimes whenever it changes from one area to the next, from one season to the next, sometimes that can be the most powerful area of growth that we experience. Henry Nouwen found himself being guided by God into that next area of growth. And of all places, he found himself at the La'ark community. Now understand, all of these adults were severely challenged. Here was a world-renowned teacher, educator, scholar, and theologian. And he found himself stepping into that place where God was going to stretch him like never before. He was assigned to work with Adam. Interesting name, isn't it? For new beginnings. A 24-year-old epileptic man who could not speak or dress himself. He was assigned the task of bathing and dressing a grown man. Over time, fear gave way to something new. And this is now in speaking. Somehow, I started to realize that this poor, broken man was the place where God was speaking to me in a whole new way. Gradually, I discovered real affection in myself. And I thought that Adam and I belonged together and that it was so important. Now and continues. I want you to understand a little better what happened between Adam and me. Maybe I can say it very simply. Adam taught me a lot about God's love in a very concrete way. A man who was willing to be humbled. A man who was willing to humble himself, performing tasks that he had never done before. And yet, as he continued to trust in God, taking him into that new area of growth, crossing over into that next season of spiritual journeying, trusting in God completely, even when he wasn't sure why he was there, that, my friends, that humility and that love and that trust in God truly was an example of what it is to be cross-shaped in one's life. That shape of cross that Paul had discussed with the Corinthian church earlier, that shape of the cross that defines us, that cross shape that we remember of Jesus before he died, before ushering in a whole new way of living. How are you living that cross-shaped life of humility, of forgiveness, not only for yourself and others, of love? How are you trusting God even when it's difficult to grow? How are you trusting God even when it's difficult to forgive or to love others? How are you trusting God with your entire life? Join with me in prayer as we consider these questions.